out there, everybody. And thank y'all so much again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm here with me, amigo, who... luckily, we're both feeling much better. Kyle Thielson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. It's a beautiful spring day. I'm enjoying it. I've really been enjoying it, but right? It hasn't been easy at Filson Manor. Let me tell you.
It has. Look, it's been a bit rocky the last 7 days or so at Filson Manor.
Man, let me explain this to you. This is it's just a frustrating thing. I know.
Hold on.
I know
first that, world problem.
I was going to say, I know Hold it's on. A first world problem. I know it is. It is. And it has to do with my age and the age of my children. So there was a bad storm 7 or 8 days ago, maybe 10, and it knocked out the power in my house. Not that big of a deal. Knocked out the internet, the electricity, everything. Well, the power came on about 2 hours later. No big deal. I leave for work. Well, when I get home, I'm told that the internet's out. I'm like, okay, no big deal. You know,
you fly in the dad mode.
Yeah, reset. Probably. Yeah. So I go in there. I start troubleshooting.
Have you unplugged it in?
I'll get to that. Yeah. So I troubleshot for a while. Nah, man, I couldn't get it going. So I called the cable company. Of course, they give you the spiel on what to do. And I'm like, yeah, I know what to do. I've already done that. You know,
yeah,
well, it's not working. So they're like, well, we're going to have to send out a technician. The bad news is there's a lot of people in your area that are out of the internet. They don't have any internet service. So it's going to be 3 days. Well, this is not the best news to tell the Filson boys that there's no internet for 3 days, right? These guys are used to gaming. They're used to streaming. They're used to doing whatever those kids are doing. And including my wife, she's usually holed up in the bedroom. She's got her Apple TV going. She's watching Hulu. She's watching HBO Max. Whatever she's watching. She's got her movies. She can't watch them there because everything is streaming.
Whatever she's trying to do to stay away from you.
Luke, he can't create his stop motion films. He can't do any of that because he doesn't have any internet. The boys, like I said, they can't game. They can't do whatever. So it's everybody's, they don't know what to do, right? They don't know what to do. I'm like, awesome. I'll go do stuff outside. I'll read my book. I'll shoot my bow.
Right.
I know how to live without the internet because I'm almost 50, right?
You're just looking for an excuse to live without it.
It was kind of nice, to be honest. Now, I have to admit, I have become addicted to the internet myself because after like day three of not being able to watch YouTube, I was
going to say, but you're only really addicted to one thing.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so the kids, they were at a loss. They would be like, well, I don't know what to do, Dad. I don't know what to, I said, look, it's beautiful. It's like 70 degrees. Go fishing. So they actually did. The big boys went fishing one day. Me and Luke, we went to Fort Worth and we drove around and we checked out some game shops. He's looking for a Sega Genesis.
He's going old school again. Yeah.
And so we went to a couple different resale shops. They didn't have what he wanted. They had one at one of the places, but it was way overpriced. Anyways, so technician comes out. It's early morning. He gets there. I tell him the story. Hey, look, a storm came. You know, we had a power surge, electricity went out. So probably the line or something that knocked this out. So he does some tests. He's there for about an hour and a half. And I'm even looking at my wife saying, this is not normal. He tells me the modem's fried. I got another one. He can switch it out. So he switches out the modem. No big deal. Gets it up and going. He's just about to leave. And my son, Caleb, comes running up to me and goes, Dad, it's working, but something ain't right. It's barely crawling.
Yeah, I forget. Because he's such a junkie for it. He went and ran a speed test the minute it happened.
Yeah, because he's like, you know, he's all
in the game. He don't trust the guy, right?
Yeah, well, he's right. So I looked, and we paid for like the most expensive internet you can get because of all the kids and my wife streaming all the time.
So and I told, your YouTube fixation.
And that YouTube fixation I had. So I tell the guy, and he goes, oh, really? So he comes back in. He checks the router. He goes, like, yeah, your router's fried, too. Probably from the storm or whatever. That ain't going to work. I'm like, well, okay, I've got my money's worth out of it. I probably had it 7 years. I'll just go to Best Buy and buy a new one. So me and Luke jump in the car. We go to Best Buy, buy a jam up router, right? Get back to the house. No internet connection. So I'm like, well, what happened? So we start jacking with that, doing the unplug in, letting it rest, all that stuff. Try that. Doesn't work. So we have to call customer support, tech support.
Didn't you end up talking to like 6 different people?
Yeah, long story short, I know that everybody's like, they don't care. And I get it. I understand you don't care.
6 people.
Trying to give you insight. Like 5 hours, 6 different phone calls, telling the same story over and over and over and over. It's not working. And, you know, I can't set up the router because there's no modem. I don't even need to worry about the router. I can't get the thing to stay online. Kept kicking me off. Turns out they sent another technician. 8 days later, we got internet, so we're good to go. But that was the trial and tribulations. And like I said,
they had to replace the main line.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's like, who are you going to yell at? Yelling at the technician doesn't do any good. Yelling at the person on the phone.
Your kids.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can yell at your kids like it's nobody's fault. It's just one of those things that happens. You know?
That's why you just went outside, right? I'm just frustrated.
You don't realize how much you depend on the internet till you don't have it.
But like you said, you could easily get away from it. That's the thing. You have to either, there's no dabble with the internet. You don't dabble with the internet, folks. You're either in the internet or you're off the internet.
I'm not going to lie. There was a couple times I was about to grab my car keys and go to my office because I got internet up there.
That's right.
I got my own office, got a whole separate cable company.
Just slide over there.
That's another thing. Where we live, there's not a separate service. You either have cable with this company or you don't have it at all. So
yeah.
It's not like I can go to a competitor. You just got to take it. Anyways.
You just got to take it.
Sometimes, folks, you just got to take it.
And here's something I'm going to let you take.
Okay.
Because I know how much you love this. A bat-winged humanoid.
Absolutely love it.
These are the things. It's like we always say. It's the headlines that grab you. The first thing I noticed was hit by truck.
Oh.
Yeah. It's near Chesterland, Ohio. Big ups to our homie Lon, who's feeling great. Everything's going good. We're going to have to get him back on. We're going to be discussing some more stuff with him coming up when we have another surprise guest we're fixing to have come on and do a little discussion. But here we go. This actually took place in Northern Ohio. It says, I had an encounter with a winged creature myself and even posted the story of what happened to a group on Facebook that talks about things. I'm 32 years old and had never seen anything supernatural or alien in my entire life until last summer. I'd always been and still am very much a skeptic. And to this day, I still try to convince myself that what I saw was actually a really big hawk or something, but I know that I'm lying to myself. Says it was around 3:45 a.m. I'm driving west on 322 towards Chesterland, Ohio. I'm driving a Freightliner box truck with a load of newspapers in the summertime of 2016 that evening, and there's always a layer of fog hanging down around the ground. And the moon was bright and the stars were out. Well, I'm going about 50 miles an hour through the hills, and I see this dark figure in the moonlight that was coming right at me. Now, it looked huge. So I slammed the brakes on and actually ducked down instinctively because I was driving right toward it at windshield level. That's when I heard the big thud as the figure had gone over the cab and smacked right into the flat aluminum box right behind the cab at probably 40 miles an hour. So I kept my foot on the brake and came to a stop on the side of the road, probably 75 yards from where the first impact happened. Well, wondering if it had smashed into the top of the box and thinking maybe I could see what I would hit, I got out and looked around. The box wasn't smashed in, so I walked around to the back of the truck and, well, that's when I saw it in the moonlight, almost clear as day. This thing was huge. I thought for sure it was dead, but all of a sudden it rolled over. That's when I saw its bat-like wings, not bird-shaped. It rolled over and stood up on two legs, and it was at least 6 feet tall.
He hit the creeper.
Hit the Jeeper Creeper. Said this thing looked right at me with its red-orange eyes, and I was literally frozen in fear. I couldn't move at all. And then it spread its huge wings and jumped up, and then it just flew off. So I ran back to the truck and took off towards Chesterland as fast as I could and spent the rest of the night on edge and trying to rationalize what I'd just seen. Now, the closest thing I could describe it to is the Jeepers Creepers monster.
Huh, yeah.
But I wasn't that close to it that I could see facial features and much detail. Just a 6-foot-tall, bat-winged man with orange-red eyes. I do that route for work every week. And every time I go through that stretch on 322, I get uneasy and it freaks me out to this day. RW.
Yeah, I would be freaked out too. If you hit the Jeepers Creepers creature, I mean, how could you not be freaked out?
And we've talked about this before. And actually, I think we've had more than one encounter go like this where people have hit things with the top part of the truck over the cab, slamming into the trailer of the truck. And it's always the same deal. Like, I know we've had some where they were caved in, but like we've had a couple where they talk about there's no sign of the impact, but the creature is reacting as if it hit it.
Well,
is weird.
I saw an interview where the writer of the movie Jeepers Creepers had talked about where he'd come up with the idea. And it was from early stories in like Nebraska or some farmland area, Iowa, something like that, where there were lots of sightings of this bat winged like humanoid. And several people had seen it on their farm and stuff like that. Like, he had heard stories about it. I don't remember the guy's name. And that's what inspired him to write that story.
That's interesting.
So it's like, I know that because the
Chicago
movie,
Chicago Mothman is spread all the way across the Midwest.
Because of the movie, there's a lot of people that have, you know, explained that that's what they saw. Yeah. But like, apparently this has been a thing that's been ongoing for a long time. Check this out. It says, "Hey guys, absolutely love the show.
Thanks.
I wanted to write you guys with a strange experience I recently had.
Here we go.
I had just watched an episode of Monsters and Mysteries in America. It was the episode called Night Stalker, which was a Skinwalker episode. When I saw the pictures of the girl that was being terrorized by the Night Stalker, it reminded me of a strange encounter my brother and I had this last winter. We were out on Navajo Dam Road, cutting wood. We had turned onto a dirt road on the northeast side. After cutting a few trees at the bottom of a canyon, we decided to go further up the hill to see if we could find more dead trees. I also had my dog and son with me. We made our way up the hill and it flattened out. There were a few dead trees, so we decided to stop and cut those as it was getting dusk and colder. My son and his dog got out and were playing fetch while my brother Chris and I prepped the trees to cut. As we were about to finish up, my kiddo came running up the hill and said he had found some really neat looking tracks from some unknown animal. So as I made my way down the hill and towards my truck with an armful of wood, I stopped to look at the tracks. They looked like claw marks in the sand and were in the same direction as where we climbed up to cut. As I was looking at the tracks, I noticed I didn't hear my brother's chainsaw anymore. As soon as I realized the motor sound had stopped, I heard a scream. The sound of a shotgun being pumped and then another shot being fired. Before I could even react, Chris came running at breakneck speed down the hill. He passed me and to the truck, yelling, "Drop the wood! Let's go! Let's go!" My dog was barking and growling and backing up with her hair raised on her back and neck. I shuttled my kid and dog with wood in hand down the hill. I threw the wood in the back seat. I have a huge F-250 with the kiddo and the dog. Needless to say, we got the hell out of there. My brother refused to speak until we were on the main road and almost to Aztec. While he was cutting wood, he said he had the feeling of being watched. Thinking that I was playing on a trick on him, he sat his running chainsaw down and went to catch me in the act before I could scare him. Not knowing I was further down the hill with my son, he climbed the rest of the hill and was looking around trying to find me. He saw us down by my truck and also saw a shadow opposite him by a sandstone cluster to his right. Now, we always carry a gun with us whenever we cut. We never know what kind of creatures one may encounter when we're out there. He popped off a shot to get my attention and also took a shot at whatever else he had seen. He told me it ran in between a rock ledge and some bushes. He didn't want to waste time to try and take another shot at it. Before the second shot, the chainsaw stopped because it had run out of gas, which is how I was able to hear the gun being cocked and fired. It scared him. It scared him so bad that he refuses to go back out that way and collect any more wood. Now, always the skeptic, I always thought he was bullshitting me, trying to scare me. But then I remember the claw marks my kiddo had found, and I know that nothing scares my brother or his dog. He said the thing he saw had a good 7-foot height to it, if not taller, and appeared to be hairy all over, with like a wolf-like face and eyes. He caught a glimpse before it slipped between the brush and stones. I was kind of laughing at him in my head, till I remember those claw marks on the ground. When I saw the story tonight, I saw those claw marks before while we were cutting wood. I knew what we had seen. Thank you for always believing others with their stories. Otherwise, I think I might be losing my mind. It was a weird and unforgettable experience. Thanks for your time, Sean." Now, he claims it was dogman-like, but his brother seems to think it was kind of like skinwalker-like, which is a common theory. When people see dogmen, they think it's a skinwalker.
Kind of like two for one when you get the dogman.
Yeah. But again, how many times have we heard people shooting at them and never hitting them?
Oh,
right?
All of them.
So I wonder what that is. I don't know.
Here's what I enjoy. I still enjoy the fact, the feelings, right? Like mm-hmm. we always talk about, trust your instincts. You instantly know when something's not right.
Yeah, they say that.
Like you can lie to yourself just like in one of the stories we talk about. But there it is. You're going to know when something's not jiving.
I agree.
What would you do? I know we ask all the time about this, but it is one of those things like, it's one thing to prepare yourself going into the woods or going to saying, I'm going to go look for Bigfoot or I'm going, you know what I mean?
Sure.
To any kind of adventure when you prepare your mind for it. But it's always these ones where it's just the last thing you've got on mind. We're cutting wood. You know, you're thinking about, all right, mm-hmm, you know, I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to the fires. I'm looking forward to winter. This is why we're doing it. Whatever you're doing it for, anything that you're doing out in the woods, collecting berries. You think about all the times that people have gone missing doing that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't ever collect berries.
No.
Ever.
No. No, I don't even eat them because of that reason. So
I like raspberries, but I buy them at the store.
I'm not even doing that. What if you go missing at the store, right? I'm not doing that. If something's up with the berries. But this whole deal is when you're least prepared for it and then you feel that wave of terror and uneasiness when you've not seen anything, that's that, I don't know, there's something about that where like, I mean, you have to trust every ounce of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, but what makes it do it? That's the part that I don't understand is what makes your body know those things are there.
I don't know, but they've done studies where they can, they've done studies at university where they can, you can tell when someone's looking at you,
yeah,
even when
yeah.
you don't see them. You can feel it. They've even had people from a different room, like they could feel some kind of presence and their person was staring at them from another room through a wall.
So remember that, folks, because lots of, and of course you and I always have joked about before, there's a different look when a predator looks at you compared to like, you know what I mean? Like when you're being looked down by a big cat or they talk about bear or anything, like you go to the zoo, right?
I'm looked down on my fellow patrons,
kids,
people.
Your kids look, yeah.
Yeah, and people but in my community look down on
but
me.
But when they're looking at you, like you can feel that uneasiness.
Yeah.
So when you get that feeling, trust it. If you're in the woods, so don't be in the woods
do
anymore.
What I do. Whenever I go into the woods, even a park, I always carry a crucifix. I carry a canteen of holy water.
That's right.
I always have silver bullets on me.
Garlic.
Uh-huh. Garlic. Yeah. Wooden spikes. Like you just carry it with you.
I have a C4 like belt buckle and belt made out of C4 that's connected to my heart rate monitor. So when it gets too high, it blows up.
See, because everybody I've ever asked that took a shot at a dog, man, I asked him, were you using silver bullets? They've always said no. And I'm like, well, that's the problem.
It's true. It doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do a thing. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some more scary monsters like the Boogeyman. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Every country has a long, rich tradition of invoking supernatural threats in order to keep young kids in line. Maybe parents save it for a last resort, but if and when they can't get their kids to behave, there is a certain terrifying boogeyman who can. He has many names and takes on many different forms and even genders, but every culture on Earth knows about him. The shadowy, the elusive, the diabolical entity who feasts on a strict diet of naughty children. He may be evil incarnate, but he also has an uneasy alliance with desperate parents who can't get their kids to go to bed. We in the English-speaking world know him as the Boogeyman, but it turns out that every culture has a name for this figure who goes bump in the night. Parents around the world agree, fear is an excellent motivator. The Boogeyman is a shadowy, amorphous ghost who hides in dark places in order to frighten unsuspecting victims. He's more of a nuisance than a real danger, and his power is easily neutralized by bright light. His name probably originates from Middle English word buggy, meaning something frightening. But there's places all over that have their own version of the same character. The real question is why? Why is it so popular? Why is every parent around the world on board with telling their children the stories about the Boogeyman? Is it just a figment of our imagination, something created by parents long ago? Or is there something to the stories? Something that did lurk under the bed or was in a closet? What about in the Netherlands or Germany or in Belgium? They have one called the Bokenriders, which is buck riders, are ghost thieves who ride flying goats. They were a legend created by actual bands of thieves in the 18th century to intimidate and terrorize local farming communities. It wasn't long before farmers and parents started incorporating the tales into stories they would tell their children when they were naughty or wouldn't go to bed. In Germany, they have their very own, known as the Bootsmann. Now, the Bootsmann is a faceless goblin or ghost shrouded in a cloak. He hides in dark corners, under the bed, or, like I said, in the closet, and attacks children who stay up past their bedtime. Now, his name either comes from Middle German Batzen, which means to make racket, or Verbutzen, which is to conceal or disguise. Today, he's most famous for the silly children's song, Es tanzt ein Bye-Bye-Bootsmann, which basically means it dances the Bye-Bye-Bootsmann, which was originally about a poltergeist with rattling bones and a weapon. In Spain, he's known as the Sackman, Hombre del Saco, or sometimes Hombre del Costal, or Homen do Saco. He goes by a few different names, but it's all the same thing, and these stories originated in Southern Europe and, of course, in Latin America. He's described as an ugly, gaunt man, kind of like Cam. Hombre del Saco is said to kidnap naughty children in broad daylight and carry them away in his sack. Depending on regional variants, he either sells the children or he eats them. In some cultures, a figure like Sackman works as St. Nicholas's evil sidekick. In Russia, made popular in the John Wick films, it's known as the Baba Yaga. Now, the Baba Yaga is a witch with a deep and powerful connection to the forest. She lives in a hut that stands on giant chicken legs, rides around in a flying mortar, and carries a giant pestle. Ambivalent towards humans, she is just as likely to help you as she is to eat you. Baba translates to old woman, while Yaga may derive from a Slavic word for serpent. Now, I would know all about Slavic culture. I'm Serbian, and my grandmother, she was called my Baba. And so it makes sense to me where the stories came from. But it sounds very similar, to Polish, which is Jedza, which is also the word they use for witch. And in Serbo-Croatia, Jeza means horror. And Old Church Slavonic, Jeza meant disease. Basically, it's a scary thing. This next one, Cam's favorite, comes from South Africa, known as the Tokoloshe. Now, the Tokoloshe are known as water sprites who do the bidding of evil wizards. They can become invisible by drinking water, and they cause all sorts of mischief. You can protect yourself from them whilst you sleep by placing a brick beneath each leg of your bed. But banishing them for good will require the help of a witch doctor. What about all the way up in Nepal? He's known as the Gurumapa. The Gurumapa is a man-eating giant with large, protruding fangs. Although he loves the taste of children, he can be reasoned with, and today enjoys an annual tribute feast in exchange for not eating any of the local kids. In Indonesia, he's known as the Wewe Gumbel. The Wewe Gumbel is a vengeful spirit of a woman whose broken heart drove her to suicide. Unlike the usual boogeyman, the Wewe Gumbel kidnaps children in order to save them from bad parents. She lovingly cares for them in her nest atop of a tall palm tree, refusing to return them until their parents repent for abusive or neglectful ways. And there's many, many more. I mean, literally, almost every country has its own version. Now, whatever form it may take, there have been numerous reports from terrified witnesses who think that they have witnessed what they describe as some form of a boogeyman. one from True Ghost Tales, comes from a witness who calls herself Charmaine, who says that this happened to her when she was just 7 years old. She claims that she began seeing a dwarf-like creature. She says it had sharp, yellowish teeth. This thing had red eyes, and its fingers looked like they were sharpened. This little beast would often appear lurking in the shadows, just to stare at her, often right in her own bedroom. And sometimes she said it would smile, the evilest smile I have ever seen. This is what she says of her harrowing experience with this thing. She said, "I always tried to ignore it, but it wouldn't go away. I was so scared to go to bed at night. It would appear almost every night. When the lights were turned off and my parents were sleeping, that's when it would come. They never believed me when I told them about the thing. After a few months, I ignored it, and it didn't like that. It started to scratch the underside of my bed, but I still ignored it. Until one night that it actually jumped on my bed and scratched me. I screamed and my parents came running in and told me that I was just having a bad dream. The next morning, there were real scratches on my arm. This continued for over 6 years. I got fed up with it, and one night I looked it in the eyes and I told it to go away. And it did. I never saw it again, but felt its presence a few more times. I was 16 at this time. I was visiting my friend and it was late, so I just decided to sleep there. We were sharing a bed, me, her, and her boyfriend. I woke up because her boyfriend was freaking out and said that the boogeyman was standing just right there. I sat up and I could feel the thing, its presence, but I didn't see it. I ran to put the lights on, and when we looked at her boyfriend's arm, there were real scratches on it. He told me what he saw. He described exactly the same thing that I saw all those years ago. I went cold, and the fear came back. I told him that I faced my fears, and he would have to do the same. You just have to look it in the eyes and tell it to go away. That's what I did. I think this thing, whatever it is, it lives on fear. Now, whatever this thing is, it certainly fits the mold of a traditional boogeyman, flitting about in the dark to scare young children, maybe even prey on that fear. You know, we talk about from time to time on the show about children with past lives, and when they're real young, they have accurate recollections of things that they did in a previous life. But as they grow older, it begins to dissipate, it begins to fade away. Even birthmarks and scratches and scars, they disappear as the child grows older. I'm wondering if the boogeyman, or whatever these things are, only feed on children when they're young, and as they get older, they lose their power somehow over children. Or, teenagers being what they are, these things don't want anything to do with them. I have two teenagers at home. I don't want anything to do with them either. There's another report from Your Ghost Stories. A witness from South Africa said that she was 13 years old at the time of her strange experience, and that it began with waking up at all hours, overcome with a sick, thick sense of dread and fear. At first, she never did see what it was that could conjure up such emotions of pure terror, and it seemed to come in waves, sometimes absolutely out of nowhere. Until one night, she finally got a glimpse of her unseen tormentor, dragged it into the light in all of its hideous glory, she says. She says, "Then I woke up again with the same strange fear and panic. I looked around my room again, and that's when I saw it. It was sitting on my desk in front of my bed. It was small, kind of like a garden gnome. It had yellow eyes, sharp little teeth, and pointed fingers. It just stared at me. I never felt so scared in my entire life. I screamed, and my dad came running into my room. As soon as he put the light on, the creature was gone. My dad naturally didn't believe me when I told him what I just saw. He told me that I just had a bad dream,
I said, it felt so real. I know that I was awake. I know I saw it. And it saw me. I slept in my parents' room for the rest of that night. Now I was scared to go to bed alone. To be alone in my room at all, especially at night. I could always feel it watching me. It also started to scratch the underside of my bed at night. I once again woke up and saw the creature sitting on my desk. He stared at me, and then he smiled. Now, apparently this went on for several more years, this strange intruder, making sporadic visits to this frightened children's room. Now, she tried to tell her parents what was going on, but they simply wrote it off as a child's ramblings and very overactive imagination. And fortunately for her, things would begin to escalate quite spectacularly. She said, "Whenever I saw the creature, I just covered my face with my duvet. I prayed and I hoped I would fall asleep quickly so it would all be over. It seemed like it didn't like that I ignored it, and that's when things got worse. I saw him sitting on my desk again. I just closed my eyes and covered my face. I knew he was still there. I could feel him watching me. I then felt him jump onto my bed. I didn't dare move. I have never been this scared in my life. I didn't dare look. I just laid there. I could feel him scratching my arm. And again, I screamed. My dad came in and put the light on, and the creature once again was gone. I slept in my parents' room again. The next morning, I saw the 4 scratches on my arm, but my parents said I must have done it in my sleep. I told a friend what was happening, and luckily, he believed me. He told me this thing thrives on fear, and that I should sleep with a Bible under my pillow and just tell it to go away. I did just that. I could still feel him sometimes watching me, but I never saw him again. I was 16 at the time. This is when it got even creepier. I was doing much better. 2 years had passed without any incident. This by now, I was 18. I stayed over at a friend's house and we slept in front of a TV. Her boyfriend screamed in the early hours, and I woke up and I could feel this creature just looking at us. I knew it was there, but I couldn't see it. Now, there are lots of stories from different people from all over the world who've had the same experience. Again, a girl stays at her friend's house, her friend's boyfriend's there. 2 different stories, the exact same scenario, except this time they weren't sleeping. Again, it kind of petered off when she was 16 in the first case. In the second case, it definitely had gone down as far as the frequency of sightings, but she had one more as an 18-year-old. It's very strange. Check this one out. This person says, "This has been eating me up on the inside for a while, mainly because I'm curious as to what this was." For context, I'm 18 years old. So a few months ago, when I was in bed around 10:30 p.m., yes, it was early, please don't judge, I had this wild experience. I remember it clearly. The hall light was on. My door was open. And a black figure was staring at me. This looked very human-like, but all I could see were its shoulders and head, with short, scraggly hair hanging in front. Basically, picture a male version of Samara from The Ring. Now, at this point, I was still in bed, but I was pretending to be asleep. I was wearing an eye mask that I could see underneath, which is how I even saw this thing. But the moment I looked at it, it quickly sprung back and shut my door without a noise. Now, my bedroom door is creaky, and the handle makes a loud clicking sound when the door is closed. Neither of these things happened. I asked both of my parents the next morning if either one of them had peeked in my room, to check on me. But they both said no. I was a little weirded out, but I simply pushed it off as nothing more than sleep paralysis, which does occasionally happen to me. The only difference is that in my normal sleep paralysis episodes, I hallucinate a tarantula crawling along whatever I'm looking at. Not a human figure. No biggie, right? wrong. The next night, around the same time, I saw the same figure peeking in my door again. This time, though, it was holding something. I couldn't make out exactly, since everything was all blacked out, but it looked like it was holding a bottle. When I looked at it this time, it didn't go away. Instead, I was able to move my arm, and then it left, quietly shutting my door again. This pretty much told me that it wasn't sleep paralysis, since I could move. It hasn't happened again since. But lately, I've been thinking about it again. I've been watching a lot of urban legend videos lately, but one regarding the boogeyman caught my attention. The description of the boogeyman was eerily similar to this figure, the only difference being that the boogeyman wears a hooded cloak, and this thing didn't have one. Another thing is the boogeyman usually goes after children, and like I mentioned earlier, I'm 18. Does anyone else know if this was the boogeyman or not? Or was it something else? I don't know. I'm just curious to the general consensus of what this thing is. I don't know, but it does sound eerily similar to a lot of other stories. Check out this story by somebody named Janice. She says, it was a very bright moonlight night. I was in my bed and wide awake, enjoying the moonlight. Everyone else in my house was asleep. The moon was directly in line with my large window, which had no curtains on it, so my room was bright enough to read by. This window was at the foot of my bed, to the left. Next to it on the wall facing my bed was another large window with no curtains also. To the right of the end of my bed was the opening into my room. There was no door. My room had been added on and opened into my brother's room. Now, it is a straight line of doors from the outside door to my brother's door to my door opening. It is very easy and quick to move from outdoors to my room. The outside door was never locked. We lived out in the country, and all the neighbors were either friends or family, so I was never really in any danger. I had a bad feeling come over me as I was laying down in my bed. I heard the outside door open and then close softly. I heard someone walk across the living room into my brother's room and then into my room. I was laying down, so I couldn't see the end of my bed. I was too terrified to look, but I knew something horrible was standing there. I don't know how long I laid there, too scared to look. I finally could not stand it anymore, and I sat up in bed. It was not a person at all. I sat there frozen, looking at it, standing in the bright moonlight, right at the end of my bed. It was inches from the end of my bed. Its body was facing the window to the left of the end of my bed, and it was hunched over as it was taller than my low ceiling. Its hideous face was turned towards me, with its arms held as if creeping. Its body was covered in hair, and it looked dark. It was glaring at me. I could feel it was furious with me for not submitting to them. I thought that it was going to kill me. I tried to scream at that moment, but I couldn't make a sound. I was trapped in my bedroom with a hairy monster that hated me and wanted me dead. I did what any little girl would do. I laid back down and covered my head, expecting to be killed at any moment. I heard it go back out of my room, through my brother's room, across the living room, and back out the door. I still could not make a sound. When I finally got my voice back, I screamed for my mother. She asked me what was wrong from her bed, and I hysterically told her what I had just seen. She told me that it was a dream and to go back to sleep. I did not go back to sleep. It was not a dream. She did not even come to calm me down. I never trusted her again after that. Wow, Janice. Terrifying story. Sorry you and your mother failed to get along after that, you know, with trust issues and things. But, you know, for some of these people that experience these sightings, it is life-changing. She could tell it was mad at her. So this is where When it comes to the Baba Yaga, the Tokolashi, the Boogeyman, whatever name you want to use, this is where there's that gray area. Is there more to the story? Is this just a demon? And it likes to prey on the fears of young children. I don't know. Here's another story. Check this one out. In June of 2004, Brad Steiger received a very disturbing letter from a teenager named Lisa, who said that she and her parents first noticed that something was wrong when her little brother, Bobby, who was 6 years old at the time, started to get bruises and cuts on his arms and legs. This is what Lisa said in that letter. We would ask Bobby, what was wrong? And he would say, that man who comes into my bedroom hits me with a belt. My mom would roll her eyes and clean up the cuts. Then one night, when he went to bed, he acted scared, and he asked Mom to sleep with him. Mom told him no, but she turned on the nightlight. The next morning when Bobby got up, he had a cut below his right eye. Mom figured that he had scratched himself while he was sleeping, so she cut his fingernails. Then, a week later, he got a large bruise on his back. It covered both of his shoulder blades, and it really hurt him. So Mom took him to the doctor to see if he had something wrong with him. The doctor asked, does he have a babysitter or someone we didn't know very well watching him? Because the bruises were probably from a beating, since he had so many of them. Mom never had anybody babysit us, and she told the doctor this. On a Monday, Mom woke Bobby for school. He said his arm really hurt, and he started screaming. Mom rushed him to the hospital. His arm was broken. I learned from a neighbor that while Bobby and Mom were in the hospital, that a man used to live in that house in the 1960s, and his two sons and daughter, they were all under the age of 7, he used to beat them. And one, the older son, even died from one of the beatings. He was arrested and killed himself in jail. The younger boy and girl still lived in the neighborhood. I went to school with one of those children, so I went over to visit. When Mom came to pick me up, the daughter noticed Bobby's broken arm. She asked Mom what had happened, and Mom told her of the strange things that had been happening to Bobby's, body in that room. The girl got a look of terrible fear on her face. She advised my mother to move away. She said she didn't know about ghosts, but she was sure Bobby was in danger. The neighborhood was going to the dogs anyways, so we decided to move. We heard that a few months later that a family had moved in with a one-month-old baby. The next day, the baby was found dead in its crib. It had a huge cut across its chest and a bruised face. I guess you couldn't even recognize the baby. The parents were tried for child abuse and the death, but no evidence was ever found that they did anything to their baby, so they were released. I'm 19 now, and I was about 10 years old when all this went on, but I remember enough to know that the ghost of that terrible man was abusing my brother. Thanks, Lisa. That is terrifying, right? Who, in this sense, the kid is being terrified by, the boogeyman, but it's a ghost? A ghost can give out beatings? I never heard of something like that before. What a wild and crazy phenomenon and experience for anyone to have. I don't know. So what is the boogeyman? And why is it so popular? Across so many cultures, we still get these stories of something mysterious terrorizing children. And it does make one wonder if all this is just a child's way to deal with fear of the unknown or something more. This is a universal characteristic. These tales, told in order to terrify kids, as well as many children, calling for their parents in the middle of the night, as something they cannot fathom looms there in the dark. Could it possibly be that the phenomenon has spurred on the stories rather than the other way around? Could these be some form of entity that feeds on the strong fear of the very young, harvesting their terror? Or is it just stories? Folklore, man, and an unchanging archetype passed down from one parent to another, from one generation to the next, kind of like Santa Claus. A cautionary tale used to keep children in check, Whatever you may think, kids across the world will probably keep on being scared by these perceived threats, whether real or imagined. One thing is certain. Be sure to check your closets tonight. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Pow.
I hope people enjoyed those stories. Very interesting. I know it's a phenomenon that is a worldwide phenomenon that nobody can really explain, much like, you know, other mythical people. Every culture seems to have a version of the boogeyman that's to frighten your children. You know, you need to go to bed on time. You need to brush your teeth. You need to be a good boy. You need to be a good girl. Or he's going to come and get you. And it's strange to me that it's so widespread. That, like, what is it? Like, why does every culture feel the need to do that? Or were there some encounters long ago? And the reason it's carried ancestor to ancestor, generation to generation, is it's a warning. Much like they can show a baby photographs of spiders, photographs of, like, tigers baring their teeth, and they show that they're afraid. It's like it's a built-in thing into our DNA because long ago, those were things that would kill you, you know. Poisonous spider would be something like today where you can just go to the hospital. Like, you got bit by something bad, like a brown recluse.
Could kill you.
Your arm rots off, you're dead.
That's it. Well, so much like we talked about before the segment, you instantly know. Your body knows whenever there's something evil there, something not right.
Right. So is the stories of the boogeyman and the monster under your bed or whatever, are those simply just folk tales because people having fun teasing kids? Or is it remnants of a warning? You know, I don't know. But I know that there's a lot of cultures that all seem to have basically the exact same story.
And I could understand it being all folklore.
Sure,
to an extent,
absolutely.
Because what other way would you keep kids? It's like you and I talked about, and everyone listening that's our age and older that grew up before the internet, grew up before there was any of this, where you were just basically turned wild, right? Like, you were just let to roam. Imagine 200 years ago or so, like, you're just left to roam, you would have to give, and even longer than that, you know, you would have to give guidelines, and lots of times it's easier where the kids may not understand the true reasons why, so you have to give them scary things to keep them out of the woods.
Yeah,
I can understand that. But then it morphs
over time, right?
Well, it makes me wonder if it manifests, like we've talked about with tulpas, or when all of the cultures and all of this energy is being dumped in and talked about with this darkness, does it build something?
I've always wondered that.
Does it fill in its own gaps?
Years ago, when we had first started the show, I was seriously collecting and entertaining the idea of writing a book specifically about the boogeyman, because I was very interested in how many cultures and how many people all have. It's the one thing I can think of that it's universally shared, right? The same concept, the same ideals.
It's like you said, maybe from the same stream.
You know, maybe that's, I mean, because, like, we know about child abduction and stuff. Heck, mm-hmm. We have adult abduction. Imagine back then, I mean, how easy it would be. So you had to watch your kids, like you said, but kids were able to roam. So you'd probably instill these things in stranger danger, little things.
Well, and like you had said before, simple things in the woods, as much as like a scuffed knee or a broke arm, could kill a child.
Oh, yeah. You compound fracture your leg horsing around with your brother in the woods, you know, 500-600 years ago. You're done.
Yeah. You get snake bit. It's over. Spider bit. It's over. I mean, you may be allergic to something, not know. It's over. Like, there's no bouncing back. So a lot of those actually,
yeah, imagine
had to
how
be.
That would be. Like, somebody has a peanut allergy. You and all your brothers are, you're growing peanuts and you're harvesting them. And then one of your brothers just drops dead. You'd be like, what happened?
Yeah. How did I think
and you just never know.
I think of the infections that come from mesquite thorns. Imagine riding down through there and getting mesquite thorns in there while you're working cattle or whatnot. And the next thing you know is, now you've got blood poisoning and then you die from it, from a mesquite thorn.
Man.
I mean, that stuff was there. Look, I got something that I'm going to share with you. So way back, and I always say I've never had any kind of crazy experience, but I never do talk about or bring up the fact of whatever it was that Michaela, my daughter, and I saw, right?
Yeah.
Have no idea what we saw up there. And so I'm like, huh. And what I'm talking about is when we were all at the grill one time, we looked up and I said it looked like a tarp, right? Like a silk or something moving against the wind, a blob. We've had people ride in and told that they had seen it or something.
then I saw this Lon had posted, and I'm like, you know what? What if? It's talking about a tentacled entity. Listen to this near Spokane, Washington. It says, it was April 16th of 2012, and I live near Spokane, Washington. I was returning home at about 4 a.m. when just off to the left of my driveway, something stood up in the field and looked at me. Now, when it saw me stop, get out, and look in its direction, it then ran or squirmed across the street and into the trees. Now, at first, I thought, well, it's a deer, but it was upright and running in a weird way, like an octopus. So I think I saw it dragging one tentacle. It then went from tree to tree like it was circling me. So I walked very quickly to my house, making sure not to take my eyes off the thing. When it was going from tree to tree, it would stop at that tree and peek at me from one side or the other, then move to the next tree and do the same thing at each stop. So when I went to the house, I grabbed my flashlight and went out to see if it was a person. Mind you, I live in the country, so I don't really think someone was sleeping in my field and dragged their sleeping bag across the street. Another thing that helps me know it was not human was when I shone my flashlight on its eye, it shined green, not red like a human would. After I saw the eye color, I went back into the house waiting for it to try to get in or peek in my windows. So I laid on my couch looking, waiting, and listening. Nothing happened. So I just tried to go to sleep and get it over. But by this time, I was in denial and thought, okay, it was just a deer. The next morning, I thought about what I had saw, so I walked out into the field where it was. There was nothing, but I remembered what it looked like. It was upright and a light shade of blue, which could have been from the moonlight. It was really skinny and tall with a teardrop-shaped head that kind of just formed into the body. No shoulders, a long arm, or both had long arms that looked like tentacles. But that's all I remember. And now I can say it was flat out the scariest moment I've ever been through. I have seen ghosts and UFOs, but nothing like that. It still scares me just thinking about it to this very day. And just a week or two before my event, there were reports of strange lights over one of my city neighborhoods, but they were on the news the next day or thereafter. I didn't think about this because I was in denial about what I had seen until like 2 weeks after it all happened. Then I started realizing that it could be possible that I actually saw an alien putting the two events together.
Wow.
So
that is creepy.
I guess you could misidentify like an alien. Maybe that is a certain alien. Like we think of it being an alien gray because it kind of sounds like that, but maybe it wasn't.
Maybe not.
But maybe, I don't know. These are the ones that just drive me bananas because I'm like, is that what the Glimmer Man is? Is that why they're invisible? So they're moving around and now this one just got seen. It couldn't, there's just so much to it. But I love the odd encounters. I love these possible jellyfish or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you and I laugh and talk about those flying manta ray things all the time. Like it makes no sense whatsoever. But then again, I'm like, but it does. I think about some crazy universe animal or something flying around through space.
You've been conditioned your whole life of what an alien should look like because of movies. But like in all reality, there's no telling what it could be.
Well, like
it looked like anything.
We laugh and joke about the movie The Abyss with all of them being in the ocean and the ocean sightings now. But why couldn't they be coming out, moving and going back in?
Absolutely.
They're alien.
Right. Check this out.
Lay it on me.
It says, this is something that happened to my brother when he was in high school. But it's a pretty cool story. I live in a real small town about 80 miles southwest of Chicago. It's mostly farms around here, mostly cornfields. So he was out one night, you know, doing what teenagers do around here. We have nothing better than like driving back roads and stuff. Anyways, they were out super late, like 2 or 3 in the morning, driving around in the cornfields, and they had to stop to, in nicer words, relieve themselves. So he gets out with some of his friends. There's two guys in the car, and his friends get out and are standing by the corn. They hear this noise way out in the corn. He explained it like it was like this wailing sound, but it didn't sound like a machine. But it didn't sound human either. It wasn't an animal or anything like that. It was just a weird wailing. So he looked at his friend and he said, "Did you hear that?" And his friend said, "Yeah." He told his friends that they were in the car to shut up and listen. So everybody got really quiet. Then they heard the corn rustling,
and then it was like it was coming closer to them. They could almost see the corn moving. The corn was kind of high, but they could definitely see it moving, and whatever it was getting closer and closer. So they started really getting freaked out, and they started getting really, really quiet. Then out of nowhere, they hear this girl's voice that said, "Where are you, Mommy?" He said his heart almost burst, and they screamed like little girls. They all got in the car, and he screamed at his friend, "Drive, drive!" And they just took off right away. They were saying to each other back and forth, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" They all said, "Oh my God, who was that?" They couldn't figure it out. What was the wailing sound? And why would a little girl be out in a cornfield at 2 and 3 in the morning looking for her mommy? They couldn't figure it out. Now, we live in such a small community that if there was a little girl missing or lost out in the corn, we would know. We know all the farmers and ranchers around here, and we would definitely know if somebody was missing, and no one ever said anything about someone missing. So what did my brother hear? Was it a ghost or something else? Tell me what you think, Samantha. Well, that's a creepy story, right?
Evil.
It's a creepy story, and there are stories of puckwudgies and stuff, and Faye, where they try to lure you into the forest. Lure you into the cornfields, to me, would probably be the same thing. I don't know. It sounds demonic to me. I definitely don't think there was a physical little girl out there wandering around looking for her mommy.
No.
But it's creepy, right? I don't know why. Why is it like a clown is creepy or like a little girl is creepy? Like little things that shouldn't be dangerous, it almost makes it creepier, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
When like a 12-foot grizzly bear come running out of there. Yeah, of course that should be scary. Yeah,
that's scary, right?
Yeah. But sometimes it's when it's not supposed to be scary, it's creepier. Like what's that movie that just came out? Smile or whatever?
Yeah.
I've never watched it because my wife and Luke are all about the horror movies, but yeah. It's something crazy about a crazy smile that just kind of makes it creepy.
What I find interesting is like everything you become used to and desensitized when you're around it all the time. So if you grew up in a place that had corn and cornfields, you wouldn't necessarily be creeped out by it at all. You'd just be like, it's just a field.
Right.
The way you feel when you grow up in a forest or in the mountains or in cities or in anything. It's those from the outside because I personally don't like them.
Yeah.
I'm always like, man, those things are just unsettling, right? But it's because of the movies. It's being conditioned.
I think you did a show on creepy cornfields.
Yes, I did.
You may need to revisit that.
I actually have one. I think I'm going to drop it on the Elite Show. I have a whole thing on creepy cornfields. I think I'll drop it.
Well, that sounds good. Well, I hope everybody liked today's show. If you have any stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, the listeners, do not hesitate. You can email us at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783. Let's not forget about our sponsor, Mint Mobile, to get your new wireless plan starting at just $15 a month. You need to go to mintmobile.com/expanded. That's mintmobile.com/expanded. Hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.